Hello and welcome to this special The Practice Drill podcast, and it's special because basically we're on the eve of Rugby League Christmas, in my opinion, which is State of Origin. Now, today on the podcast, we're talking about all things Origin 1 ahead of the huge game in Core Stadium tomorrow night here in Sydney. But as always, shout out to Sencho for providing the killer intro and introducing my good mate Blaise McKee, but not only just him, we've got two special guests. It's an even more special podcast today with Sean, and also the most shouted out person in the Practice Drill podcast history, Luke Gallen. I'll start off with you, Blaise. How are you?
Very excited. I think, you know, we all know what a big day State of Origin is, and I think there's a lot of nervous energy in the room, particularly on the Queensland side of the desk. I think the New South Wales side of the desk here is feeling pretty confident, I think.
All right, and Sean?
I'm well. I'm very well. Thanks for inviting me on. Looking forward to tomorrow night. Not looking forward to the noise levels at our house, but absolutely looking forward to having a good look at both these teams go around.
Okay, and Luke.
Yeah, well,
New South Wales jersey.
I'm honoured to be here. Always been a big fan of the show. And yeah, I'm unbelievably excited. You know, there's a few things which I'm not super happy about, but I'm sure we can get into that in the podcast.
We'll get into that shortly. Blaise, as I always ask you, big weekend in the rugby union just before we get in. Tars gone. How are you feeling? You've been to pretty much every game. Probably the most loyal Tars fan I've ever seen. But how'd that feel?
Yeah, it was tough to see the Waratahs go out. Obviously, I'm also a big fan of, you know, rugby union in general, and there were some pretty good games, I think, on the weekend. And luckily for Australian rugby fans, the Brumbies are still going. So hopefully they can go a few better and lift the trophy in a few weeks.
All right, and Luke, no South Sydney this weekend. Sean, no Broncos. So what you get up to?
This weekend, played a bit of my own sport, which was nice, and I almost enjoyed the stress of not watching a Rabbitohs game. Take the win against the Tigers, which is sad that that's getting me up and about these days, but that's how the season's been so far. So, yeah, just nice to have a weekend off, I think.
And it's kind of been the opposite for you. Broncos being in some good form.
Yeah, exactly. I missed watching this weekend and broke up the weekend, but played a couple of games of golf and got blown off the planet. So, looking forward to not having so much wind around tomorrow night.
So some AFL and some golf over the weekend. But now, guys, if you'd like to go follow us on Twitter, the handle is @T_practicedrill. And as always, let's get straight into it. Now, it is an Origin 1 special. And just to let everyone know, we're a little bit divided up here. We've got a table set. It's me and Sean, two Queenslanders on one side of the table, and on the other side, the enemy in the disgusting blue jersey, one of them. The other one saying, "I love ugly," which is... You know, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. Yeah, it says it all. But pretty much today, we're just going to be going over Origin 1 as a rugby league fan. First of all, so excited to see both teams play. It pretty much, to me, has been one of the most exciting lead-ups to a game one in, you know, recent years, purely because I can't see a clear favourite. New South Wales, obviously, are favourites on, you know, betting companies and just in popular opinion. But I do believe it's more of a 50-50, considering some of the injuries to the New South Wales squad, namely Turbo Tom, who was, you know, the Wally Lewis medalist last year, and then Latrell Mitchell, who is, you know, one of the best players in the league when he's on. Just want to, make that statement there. But look, let's get into it. Origin 1 team lineups and our initial thoughts of where we're going to start. So we're going to run through the New South Wales side, and I'll just read it out quickly. So Tedesco at fullback, To'o and Tupou on the wings, Staggs and Whiten in the centres, Luai and Cleary still in the halves, Payne Haas to start with Junior Paulo, Damien Cook in the number 9 jersey, and then Murray, Sims and Yeo to round out the starting lineup. In the bench is Crichton, Martin, Campbell Gillard and Ryan Madison. Now, for you two, as New South Wales fans, initially, what did you think when you saw the 17?
Yeah, there were definitely some surprises. I think, obviously, the big one, Stephen Crichton on the 14 bench, and then Jack Whiten in the centres out of position. But I think, you know, those injuries provide a really interesting opportunity, and I'm really excited to see how some of those new guys go. Particularly, I think Tony Staggs is a really exciting prospect, and you hear a lot of... you know, NRL commentators talk about him being a guy that really suits the Origin environment. So, yeah, I'm excited to see how those guys go. And I think it's going to be, you know, a really big opportunity for Tony Staggs in particular.
Yeah, I think Katoni's going to nabra a few people come tomorrow night, and I've got no doubt in his ability. But for me especially, I don't mind Josh Adokar. I always liked him, and I think he's been a bit of a heart and soul of the Blues team, even when we've been struggling in the last couple of years, or, you know, won that series that maybe didn't count in the COVID times. But, you know, Daniel will do a job, but I think for me, I would have loved to see Adokar in there for game one. But Crichton as well, wouldn't mind him on the starting team, personally.
So you just touched upon some of those big key misses that has been spoken about endlessly on the media. Adokar, Crichton. What about Jake Travojevic? Do you think he is a little bit stiff, or do you think it's actually time to kind of move on from Gerbo?
I think with Gerbo that it's hard because his stock's kind of plummeted in terms of his position of lock. And, you know, that's probably where Murray's the second best after Yeo, who's arguably the best player in the game at the moment, especially from a New South Wales bias look. But I don't know. I wouldn't have minded Jake in there. There's people have been speaking about Frizzell. You know, why is he in there if he's not going to be playing, as he's a bit of a older figure in the team? So, honestly, I wouldn't have minded Jake in the squad for maybe Frizzell, but it's hard considering he's also won series with us before. So, yeah, pretty difficult.
So, overall, the rest of the squad you guys are happy with? I guess another thing that I'll touch upon just quickly is Nicho Hynes. You know, we're all in a fantasy comp together, as we've talked about it before on the practice drill. But he's been one of the form players in the competition, one of the best players to have in your fantasy team. Do you think a little bit unfair for him not to get at least on the bench?
Yeah, as Luke said, it was also surprising, I guess, with Crichton being named in the 14 jersey. I think many expected maybe him to be in the centres and then Nicho Hynes to be in that 14 jersey for a bit of impact off the bench. I think I certainly love Nicho Hynes. He brings a lot of energy, you know, a lot of speed off the bench and can cover a number of positions. And as you say, he's probably been, you know, in the top few form players in the NRL this year. But having said that, I think the New South Wales backline has got a lot of strengths, and Crichton and Whiten cover, you know, the whole backline plus, I guess, the lock position. So I guess Fittler's looking, you know, a bit of depth there and to cover a few more options, I guess, if someone does get injured. And then I guess Hynes can come in if there's a HIA or a foul play incident.
Yeah, not a bad number 18 to have, that's for sure. Luke, I'll just ask you before we move on to looking at the Queensland Origin 1 team lineup. Anyone else you would like to see? I think I have a guess at who you'd like to see in that squad.
Yeah, would have loved Campbell Graham in the squad. I think his consistency this season's been almost second to none, especially from a struggling Rabbitohs standpoint. But just I have to touch on Hynes quickly as well. That, like, I think at least a couple of weeks ago he was number one for try assists in the competition, and sometimes you just got to pick on form. I know that Freddie seems to have this love affair with Jack Whiten, and that's okay. But what I don't like about his selections is all the mix with incumbency and then not. And, like, you got to find that rhythm between form and incumbency. And I don't think he did for this series. And I don't like Hynes at 18, cool, whatever. But 14 would have been so much more dangerous.
But if he's playing number 14. What do you see him doing? Like, where is he coming on? Are you taking Cleary or Luai out of the game? Like, or are you taking Cook out and he has to play hooker? Like, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking if Crichton's on the bench, then, like, I don't know. I feel like that debunks that theory straight away, because I don't know. I don't want him to come on at centre for, I don't know, no reason. I would have liked him just to start there. And I know Hynes can't do anything, but when Papenhuyzen got injured and everyone had a massive cry about why Freddie didn't prepare. I mean, sorry, when Tedesco got injured and Papenhuyzen wasn't on the bench. Like, I don't know. Why not Hynes? I just feel like at the end of the day, it wasn't so many weeks ago that he played like three positions at once, and that's when he got the biggest fantasy score I've ever seen. So, yeah. I don't know. I just would have liked him. I know it might not be ideal, but I don't know. Just would have liked Jack Whiten in 18 myself.
No, I like that take. And now we'll run through the Queensland side. Kalyn Ponga at fullback. Selwyn Cobbo and Xavier Coates on the wings, Holmes and Gagai in the centres, Munster and Cherry Evans still at the halves, Tino in the number 8 jersey with Papali'i as well in the front row with Ben Hunt starting at hooker, Capewell, Kafusi and the debutant Ruben Cotter at lock, and the bench, Harry Grant, Lindsay Collin, Patrick Carrigan and Jeremiah Nanai. Sean, as a Queensland fan, I guess the first thing that stands out is the debutants. There's four of them coming into this game in Cobbo, Connor, Carrigan and Nanai. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it definitely shows that Billy Slater is showing his hand straight away. Like, he wants to play a really up-tempo and attacking style of football. All in great form, which is always good to see. I think in the last few years we've kind of struggled with picking form players or even healthy players, and this year I think all of the squad is pretty healthy, which is a really good start to the series. Yeah, like, a lot of the talk has been around Selwyn Cobbo and how he's going to go, and you know how he's such a 2.0 of Greg Inglis and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be really interesting to see how he goes. I can see it could go either way. Hopefully, from a Queensland point of view, he gets a couple of good touches early and a couple of good runs and gets his confidence up, and then we'll be game on after that. Jeremiah Nanai is the biggest X factor for me. Like, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Billy Slater uses him and what kind of plans they have in place. Also, it'll be really interesting to see what Nate Miles and Cameron Smith have been talking to him about during the week. I think for me, that the coaching team that's been put together is almost as good as the team that's going to run out there on Wednesday night. It's going to be really fascinating to see what kind of plans they have in place.
And I guess that's kind of been the opposing thing between the two camps, is that New South Wales have gone for those people who have been either in media or been out of the game for a while. Brad Fittler, you know, Greg Alexander, there's Danny Badiris there as well, and I'm sure Andrew Johns has been in and out as well. Whereas Queensland have gone, you know, Slater's now the head coach, Thurston, Smith, Miles. I saw Matt Scott was in there, Greg Inglis is in there. Wayne Bennett was in there the other day, who's, you know, just a recent coach. So they've really gone for players who have just exited the modern style of rugby league, and that's going to be what's interesting. You know, do these people who have been out kind of observing the game from the outside know more, or is it people who just left the game? So I think not only is it going to be a great battle on the park between the 17 players, I think it's also a battle between the coaching staff. But let's quickly go over some misses. And you spoke about Nanai being that X factor. For myself, he was probably the one guy who I wasn't a fan of being selected. I just don't know how they're going to use him. And I think that's going to be the interesting thing coming to the game. And I think it's the same with Crichton for New South Wales. Both sides have a bench player that is a little bit of an unknown as to how they're going to play. I would have liked to see Jai Arrow. I think he's been unbelievable for South. And look, Origin, you see a lot of dirty plays, and you know he's known for one of the dirties, although I do believe it was he didn't know that Tedesco was knocked out, but it is something that has kind of stuck to him. But I think he brings a lot of aggression and maybe some fear into some of the New South Wales playmakers, and that's what I would have liked to see, but good on him, because he's had a hell of a year. So Jai Arrow, obviously one of the main players to miss out, but also Tom Flegler and Corey Oates. As a Broncos fan, would you like to have seen him pair with maybe Selwyn?
I don't think, not so much as a Broncos fan. I think like, his stats this year probably give evidence that he should have been picked. He's been playing off his head, and maybe it's because he's coming off contract soon, needs to put some good performances on the board. He looks like an old man running around, doesn't he? Like, but he's only in his like 20s.
He's 27.
Yeah, I'm just like, wow, he's been around for so long. I think it's a really, like, Queensland doesn't get this luxury often, where you have so many players to choose from that you're leaving out some really good selections. So again, it puts a lot of pressure on those guys that are in the 17, knowing that there's some really good guys waiting in the wings. So hopefully that spurs them on to a good performance tomorrow night.
Anyone else you would have liked to have seen in the 17 or in the squad even?
I think it's pretty good. I think it's pretty strong. You know, when you look at even down to like 21, like, there's some really good players there. I think Tom Dearden's a real surprise pack for me. Like, that guy was in the wilderness last year, and to see him turn it around in probably exactly 12 months has been fantastic. So no, not really. I think the selectors have done a really good job, and I'm just hoping that the coaching staff have done their job this week as well.
For me, I would like to see Reece Walsh come back into camp because obviously he was in there last year and he was going to make his debut in, was it game one or game two? And he got injured on the second last day. I think it was in the captain's run. So I would like to see him get in there. But anyway, let's move on to our next topic, which is about New South Wales and Fittler's main selections. And we've touched upon it a little bit. But obviously, I'll let you two over there, and Luke and Blaze, kind of give us your thoughts. So I guess initially, the main thing that stands out is it's almost Queensland against Penrith, because you got six Panthers players in the side, and rightfully so, they're atop the table, and even when all these six players out, they thump the Bulldogs. Like, they're just got a richness of talent. They're at the foot of the mountains, and the six that are playing, obviously Cleary, Luai, Yeo, To'o, Crichton off the bench, and Martin off the bench. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find, six better names in rugby league, and they all play on the same team. So what are your thoughts? Do you like to see for a second straight year that they've gone mainly Penrith at the core of your side?
Yeah, as you say, it's probably pretty hard to argue, given that Penrith have been so dominant at clubland, and those guys also did a great job, last year in New South Wales' victory. I think the key trio there is probably Cleary, Luai and Yeo. They connect so well, through the middle of the park. And Yeo in the lock position, ball plays so well. I think he just allows, Cleary and Luai to get a little bit wider in attack and really challenge those wide second rowers and force them to make some, defensive decisions. And then on the back of that, guys like Brian To'o and Stephen Crichton can hopefully go in for some tries. So I think the trio of Nathan Cleary, Jerome Luai and Isaiah Yeo are going to be really key to New South Wales having a successful series.
Yeah, I have to agree. Those are obviously the big three. But I feel like To'o hasn't had much of a chance this year, obviously being injured, and his form hasn't been insane, which is hard to do off the back of an injury. But he's still a big-time player, and so is Crichton. As much as it pains me to say, that intercept in the grand final last year, like, he's a big-time player. And Martin he embodies what I think a lot of Blues players, have lacked from times, and that's just the fact that he's an absolute menace on the field. He's, like, off-the-back-fence sort of player. And I love that they're all from the same team. As much as I dislike Penrith, I think the synergy can be the difference, and that's part of the reason why I keep saying Crichton should be on the field to start with, because, I don't know, I just feel like from the get-go, they'll be all together. And, Yeo is in just too good a form, dominating. I think coming up against Cotter, I don't know, he could give him a bath, I hope, but you never know.
I don't know if you saw when Cotter played against him, 63 tackles, 0 misses. So.
I did see that, but, he still lost, and that's what matters.
Look, it's a hot take. It's a real hot take. But out of those six players, you know who scares me the most? Liam Martin, that you just touched upon because of those things, is that he just hits the line with so much pace for an edge back row. Not many forwards do that, especially at, like, he's kind of like a short, stockier forward. And I mean, he's just like ferocious. Like, he looks like he's going to kill someone out there. Like, he's just got that look in his eye. And I mean, he just scares me in defense as well. He's always there. Now, we'll move on to another point with Fittler's selection. And we touched upon it earlier. And it's the dropping of Josh Adokar. That's kind of outraged a lot of people. Backs it up against Penrith with two tries. One of them was an absolute crazy one with Matt Burton kicking on first over to him, but they've dropped him for Daniel Tupou, who has been in good form for the Roosters and is a really reliable player. But guys, as a New South Wales fan, are you nervous about Queensland's aerial ability, or do you agree with this kind of selection kind of hinting at a fear of Samuel Cobbo and Xavier Coates?
Yeah, I think we'd like to, preface this by quoting the Hello Sport boys, "In Freddie we trust." So ultimately, I think whatever we think, Freddie's, done a good job in the past, and obviously he sees something in Tupou that's going to help them win the series. I think Luke touched upon it earlier. I would have loved to see Josh Adokar more just for the energy and the vibe he brings to State of Origin. I think a lot is made of, these camps being really important, and sometimes, you've got the best players playing. It's about those little extra aspects that guys can bring to a side and little extra lifts here and there. But it does probably show that they are a little bit worried about Queensland aerial ability, even though I don't think Adokar's, he doesn't get dominated too much in the air. For me, it's a little bit of a strange one, given that, you know, Selwyn Cobber in particular is a rookie. And although he's an incredible talent, he still hasn't really proven it on the big game stage. And for me, I would be trying to put the pressure on him rather than, I guess, changing my team to, I guess, suit his talents. So it was an interesting one for me, but, you know, Daniel Tupou's also performed before at State of Origin, and, you know, I'm sure he'll do a pretty good job.
And just to back up your point before you go, Luke, is about the energy that I think Josh Adokar not only brings on the field, but I think it's in camp. Like, I think everyone's seen videos of his laugh and just how energetic he is. And I feel like for New South Wales, and I've seen it in a couple interviews, is I think the energy within the camp is a little bit different towards the bad side, because Littrell and Josh Adokar are some of the loudest, you know, funny guys. Like, they're the ones that bring that relaxness and a bit of comedy, whereas I think the Penrith guys are very serious with their speakers, and like they are funny, and they do, but they're more like pick on funny, whereas like I feel like those guys they bring a little bit of humor to the squad, and I have seen some of the players say it is a little bit odd without Josh there. So you go down,
Luke. Absolutely love that point, Eli, and I totally agree. I feel like even the small things, I know this might mean nothing, but like there's big flags of Josh Adokar at the front of a core stadium. Like, he's a hot, like they've prepared that he was going to be in the team. And I know like Tupou's all right, but you talk about Littrell and Josh Adokar, they had that whole bad boys for life thing they were jamming on about the whole time. Like, they're just having fun in camp. And I feel like New South Wales players didn't have much fun in camp when they knew they were going to get belted, like, most series for all that time. And, you know, I would love Josh Adokar in Cobbo's face, just going, I've been here, I've done that before. He scored, what, 10 tries in 12 games. Like, who can't say he can outpace Cobbo? I know he's quick, but Tupou's a bit more of a, you know, he's a... I don't know, he just does a job, and that's cool and all, and I hope he does, and trust him in what Freddie's doing, but at the same time, like, I just would have loved Josh there, just getting in his face, jamming away, and probably bringing a couple of people, like, you know, To'o and all that stuff out of their shell, and just, like, G'ing them up, bring the energy. So, yeah, I just would have loved Adokar in the team.
I just want to hear from Sean on this topic, and I just wanted to start off by saying this, like, Josh Adokar in clubland is kind of different to how he is in Origin. I see him taking some seriously tough carries in Origin. Like, he cares. He gets his, like, hands on the ball. He wants to take those big hit-ups, which is what Tupou does for the Roosters, and we're seeing him do it at Origin. So it seems like the only difference that Tupou brings is his aerial ability. So do you think New South Wales seems scared with his selection?
I don't know. It's a really interesting one. Like, I think Tupou... has a few errors in him, like coming out of his own half, you'll see him throw, like, try and get an offload, but it's not really there. Like, I see him do that quite often in clubland. But maybe for Tupou, his selection is not so much about what he does defensively in the air, but I think what he does at the other end of the park too, because I feel like they're going to try and get Tupou jumping over the top of Cobbo on the Queensland try line. So I think it's going to be a really interesting battle. I personally would have stuck with Adokar. I think he hasn't done anything wrong. Interesting, there's been a few comments in the media in the last week about, well, what does this mean for players that want to go to some of those bottom four sides for the sort of bigger money? Does this now mean that they won't be getting selected in sort of rep team? So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out over three games where the Tupou stays there. Yeah, really interesting, but, you know, not my problem.
No, definitely not our problem. In fact, it's probably a little bit of a relief, you know, because, like you said, he gets in space. Fastest man on the planet, apparently. So, but I guess we've touched upon it, and we'll just go over it quickly. I guess, like, the biggest call of the whole team was Whiten in at left centre and Crichton off the bench. We'll just move on from it super quickly, but do we think he's going to backflip? Do we think Fittler's going to backflip on that come tomorrow, you know, half an hour out from the game?
I think he is, and I hope he does, even though we were talking about it pre-recording, but the mind games from New South Wales aren't quite living up to the ones Queensland used to throw out back in the day with all this camp, you know, wool pulling and all that sort of stuff.
No one's even been sick so far this year in the age of COVID.
There you go. No one's even been sick. That's true, but that's the thing. Harry Grant, they're using perfectly. That sucks. I always just hate knowing that he's sitting there on the bench. But, yeah, I think surely he'll swap it. Wyden can do a job at 14, so, yeah.
So for you guys, what else has stood out for you that you believe is going to be an area of strength for New South Wales?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, we haven't spoke much about the front row. I think Payne Haas, obviously coming off a few dramas with the Broncos, and, you know, I think he's going to be a real dominant force, and Junior Paulo as well. I think those two combining can hopefully, you know, get over, I guess, Tino and Papali'i there. I think that's going to be a huge battle. Obviously, it always is in State of Origin, particularly in the first, I guess, 15 minutes when those guys are taking some pretty big carries. And I think those guys who are obviously almost the first selected have probably fallen under the radar a little bit with all the talk about, you know, the debutants coming in. So I think that front row battle is going to be really interesting. And I think whoever wins that in the first 15 minutes usually goes on to have a pretty successful game.
And will Junior Paulo take the chess plate off for once?
Junior will be doing whatever he wants. He's in, I think, pretty good form, and I think he's super motivated, and he's got his Eels brothers with Campbell Gillard and Madison there on the bench. So I think we talk about the Penrith combinations, and I know those three might not be chucking each other the ball all that much, but they've played a lot of footy together, and that can be a point of strength for New South Wales.
The Eels beat Penrith. It was off the back of their forward pack, really, you know, matching them. They're two of the best forward packs in the league, and they've kind of jammed the two together, so... That is a great point. It's probably gone under the radar a little bit as well with all the other news in both camps. But guys, let's move on to the Queensland team. So Billy Slater coming into his first game as coach of the Maroons. He's played 31 Origins, which is just so many. And he probably would have been all-time if he didn't have a couple of seasons of being out injured. But I guess... And we touched upon it before. I guess the headline of the entire Queensland camp has been the four debutants that were playing game one in Cobbo, Cotter, Carrigan, Nanai. Sean, I know you said that Nanai, you believe, is the X factor, but out of the four, who are you most excited to see play come Wednesday night?
I think it's hard to pick, really. I'm really interested to see how Carrigan goes. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been enormous in the last couple of years. I think he was unlucky to miss out last year. Reuben Cotter's coming out of nowhere, the same as Nanai. Really interesting to see what's in the water up at Townsville, because they've just turned things totally around from last year where they were just hopeless. I guess, you know, for me, we all love those big plays. I remember seeing GI run over about 14 New South Wales people, even though they had to have 13 on the field. They might have run over a ref at one point. And you know, that's all great, but I just love seeing players like Cotter just tackle everything that moves all night long. That for me is like a real rugby league player, and someone that you really need in at each side, because he saves energy from a lot of the players around him as well, and it just lets the Queensland team do a lot around that middle. If he's just tackling everybody, and then some of those other players have got a bit more energy to use when we have the ball. So, and that's, to me, that's going to be the biggest battle in the whole game, is how these forward packs come up against each other. So really interested to see how someone like Cotter, who's going to probably play 80 minutes, how he handles it, and whether we can keep up with the pace of what New South Wales is going to be throwing at him.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to see Selwyn Cotter. I mean, you kind of gave the comparison to Greg Inglis, and I like, you can see it. I'm not sure if, like, tomorrow night he's going to be Greg Inglis. Like, I think that's a little bit too much to expect. But, you know, it's been great that Greg Inglis has been in the camp and apparently he's been working with Selwyn relentlessly. And just imagine the mind that Greg Inglis has to be like, if you get in this position, you put the defender in that position, and you can... We've seen Selwyn Cobbo's fend. Like, he's... That right side for the Broncos and Cobo and Stags, like, they're obviously, you know, a fending machine over there. And so it'd be interesting to see if he gets that, but I think he's also going to be targeted a lot by New South Wales. And some players are amazing at clubland, and he's only young. Like, he's younger than all of us here, you know, like, which is crazy. But you never know if he's going to be able to do it on the big stage, but... I feel like we all kind of agree that he's probably going to be there. But for you Blues fans, which one of those four debutants is kind of worrying you? I know you guys are acting tough, like nothing's scaring you, but what's going to worry you a little bit?
Yeah, I think I like Sean's point about Ruben Cotter just tackling everything he moves. And we spoke about Isaiah Yeo being a real ball-playing 13. You know, Ruben Cotter's a really different style. So I think those two coming up against each other is probably going to show, I guess, the two differing game styles. And obviously that's going to force the Queensland halves to ball-play a lot more. So I think Ruben Cotter coming up against Isaiah Yeo is going to be a really interesting battle. And two, you know, contrasting styles.
I also had the privilege of watching Broncos Rabbitohs at a Core Stadium a few weeks ago, and what a game. Now, the Broncos were making quite a few errors that night, and two players for them that probably were the difference was Carrigan's energy in defence and attack was unbelievable, and you could just pick him out from nowhere. And I remember my dad saying, "Who? He has no idea who he is." He goes, "Who's that bloke?" And I was like, "Oh, Patrick Carrigan, blah, 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 blah," and Cobbo as well. Like, those guys, I don't know, I feel like Cobbo's just built different. It's annoying to say, but if he makes one of those breaks in, you know, the first 10-15 minutes, his confidence is going to be so high, he's not going to care. Like, he's that sort of player, in my opinion. And I don't know, all three of them are dangerous. Like, I don't think you could have picked four better debutants, in my opinion. So, yeah, I like all of them, which is hard to say.
I think, like, Cobbo's an obvious coin toss. Like, it's his first real full-time season in the NRL and he's playing State of Origin. But for me, what gives me confidence about him is even if he does make a few errors early, he's probably learnt from this season where the start of the season he was playing terribly, pretty much. And he's just turned it around. So I think he has, and he's 19 years on this planet. I think he turned 20 on Sunday, didn't he? Last Sunday.
Yeah, turned 20 on Sunday.
And he's 20 years on this planet. He's certainly learned how to sort of pick himself up when he's not going so well. And I think with someone like Greg Inglis having his arm around him for the last week and then all the rest of those guys, I'm really interested to see how he goes, like what he's learned in the last 7 days.
It's going to be very interesting, but I guess another big call outside of the debutants, and we touched upon it just before, I think it was Luke that did, is Ben Hunt starting at hooker and then Harry Grant, arguably the best hooker in the NRL, in the number 14 jersey. Now, it's a luxury again for Queensland to, you know, have two great hookers and one of them doesn't even play hooker for their club. So it's a little bit crazy. And Ben Hunt coming off the back of a great game three. And I think that confidence where he scored two tries and, you know, he is, I think, behind closed doors. I think he is kind of what embodies the Maroons. I don't know if you guys know, but he's won Queensland Player of the Year two of the last 3 years.
Oh, and he's winning the Dally M at the moment, yeah, last time exactly. I checked. So.
And the thing is he kind of just goes under the radar. And many people think, like, you know, it can be the same thing as you see in, like, the Brownlow in the AFL. Is like, if you're a good player on a struggling team, you'll get points, like, no matter what happens.
Shout out to Jackson Hastings.
Shout out to Neil for a few years. So I think he's kind of gone under the radar there, and now he's probably just starting to get his flowers, and I think he's primed for a big game. Well, coming on.
Interesting analogy.
Well, he's been ripped for that knock on in the grand final for years, yeah. And then he got $1 million and no one thought he was worth it. So, like,
look, he's one of my favourite players, and I love when he pulls on a Queensland jersey because you just know that he's totally selfless. And I kind of see him playing big minutes. I think what they will do with him is use him at sort of locks. I mean, might have two locks. It's going to be interesting to see how that forward pack, what the kind of makeup of that forward pack and how it changes over the 80 minutes. But I see him playing a lot of game time because if you've got Harry Grant and him around that middle, and then you've got Munster on one side, Cherry Evans on the other, and then Ponga just turning up wherever he wants to, like, that's going to be a handful. So I think that's the big advantage that Queensland has, is someone like Ben Hunt and all the variety he brings. Like, he's got a really good kicking game.
But the final point about Slater's you know, main selections, and we brushed over it before, it was Slater selecting Coates over Oates. And I guess the interesting thing about that, and Sean, you touched upon it, was the stats. And the stats are in favour of Corey Oates. I'll read his stats out in three categories that I think really tells how well of a season he's having. 10 tries, 43 tackle breaks and 179 metres per game as a winger, compared to Coates, who has been playing well, but I think he's had a bit of a quiet month. 11 tries, only 16 tackle breaks, and 97 running metres. So, for you boys, are you more scared of you know, Oates or Coates, or do you think the stats in this situation don't really play a role?
I think probably for me the big stat there is the running metres, you know, particularly in Origin. You know, your wingers are going to have to do a lot of hard work getting out of their own end, and I think Coates is a guy that they can, New South Wales can really target. Obviously, Cleary's going to have a great kicking game, and you know, if we can target Coates coming out of his own end and you know, lock him down, we can, you know, really, I guess, corner Queensland, you know, down into their own end. Whereas I think Corey Oates coming out of his own end is a lot harder to tackle. I mean, the tackle breaks also showed as well there, but it's probably a sign that, yeah, maybe they're going for a bit more X factor, maybe with Coates and Cobbo and the two wings, and yeah, maybe that shows the up-tempo game that they're going to try to play.
Yeah, see, I think Corey Oates this year has just been awesome, and I know the Broncos have been playing really well, but again, like, he was on the back burner completely. Like, only, I don't know how many months ago it was, but he wasn't even playing reserve grade for the Broncos. And, like, I just like the fact that he's come back and proved himself in these stats. Like, the stats don't lie. That's a crazy amount of tackle breaks. And I don't know, I would have been probably a bit more scared if he was in the team, just because I like that he's a mature player. I know Coates has played plenty of footy now, but yeah, I don't know. He's not in the most amazing form. He's been a bit of, like, you know, just a anytime try scorer. That's how I like to kind of call him. You just put him on for a try at the Storm. Seems to happen, you know, most weeks. But whereas Oates is doing the tough work, and he's been decent defensively too. So, yeah, I don't know.
I think the other thing about Corey Oates too is he's had a number of different halves combinations on his side, and he's still being able to get that many tries. And, you know, obviously coming out of his own end, he's got a big job to do, and he's been doing it really, really well. So I probably would have picked Corey Oates over Xavier Coates, but I think Slater having that Melbourne connection, we've seen that Xavier Coates, he's gotten a lot better with his hands in the air this year. He must have seen something that he liked that would fit into the sort of style of play that he wants Queensland to play. So that'll be a really interesting one.
Well, I do think it also plays a part, and I just didn't put this in there, but it's also defensively is where Xavier Coates actually really picks up, you know, some points in this debate. Is, I think Corey Oates is 63% tackle efficiency, which for a winger, if you know, you're not getting targeted that much, and if you're only, you know, completing a tackle 63% of the time, you know, it's really concerning, because if you go off last year game one, 50-6 New South Wales won, you know, so there is a chance, because they are the favourites, that Queensland could be defending their line, and you don't want that weakness, and then you've got Cobbo on the other side making his debut. So I think it's looking at that defensively, where Xavier Coates, 80%. So, still not unbelievable. I think it was just a little bit over 80%, maybe 83%. Still not unbelievable, but respectable. And I think we've even seen some players. I think there was a player early in the season where he kind of jumped up to put someone on. I can't remember what game it was, but it was ridiculous. And it literally just stopped the person from throwing the pass. Like, he was never going to get there, but he's just obviously learned a few new things, and you're probably right about the Melbourne, you know, combo there with Slater.
Xavier Coates playing on the left though, so that'll be
he's playing out of position.
Playing out of position.
So, but nothing too, because I think it's going to be the same for New South Wales as well, because Tupou plays left and Toho plays. Oh no, Toho's been playing right this season, because But he has, I think wingers are pretty flexible. I'm sure they've both played on both wings. I don't think it's really going to play that big of a role. As long as they don't knock the ball on as much as Valentine Holmes did in that game. Well, we'll move on to our next topic, which just towards the end of the podcast here, is our game one predictions of, you know, what we think is going to happen, and also what we think the game plans are going to look like. Personally, I think Queensland are going to be looking to play a fast-paced game, somewhat similar to how New South Wales played last year, where they were just relentless. Like, Queensland were just always on the back foot, and especially in those first two games. And I think that's also shown by the type of forwards that Queensland have selected. If you think about big body, not as mobile forwards, Josh Papali'i still has pretty good footwork. Carrigan's a bigger body, but again, a lock. And then Lindsay Collins. But outside of that, you got Tino, who's a, you know, a slim, sort of solid build. And then you got Kafusi, Capewell, Cotter, Jeremy Nanai in that forward pack. So all really mobile players, and it's similar to what we saw in New South Wales last year, whereas they do have great, unbelievable forwards in like Haas and Paulo, but they're also really big bodies. So, you know, they're going to get tired quicker than those mobile forwards. So I can just see that being an area of strength. What about you, Sean? What do you think is the key for Queensland?
Yeah, look, I think the forward battle is going to be the most important. That's a bit of a captain obvious statement, but you kind of know what New South Wales is going to bring. And you can't clearly see that Queensland has picked a side that's going to combat that directly. So I think the different styles between the forward packs is going to be a really, really fascinating battle. Really looking forward to Tino just smacking blokes tomorrow night. I think he's carried a lot of weight for his club side, and a little bit of pressure will be off him tomorrow night. He'll be able to look left and right and be confident that, you know, everyone near him is going to do their job, and he can just concentrate on what he needs to do. So I think there are going to be some really, really sore New South Wales bodies after the game.
For you guys?
I think for New South Wales, the key is going to be Nathan Cleary and his kicking game. In the big games, I think for Penrith and New South Wales, Cleary's shown an ability to really take it over and pin teams back in their corner. I think, as you said, the Queensland forward pack will be looking to get to Cleary as much as possible and put some pressure on him. But if he can get some clean space and clean air, I think he's going to be able to put some pressure on that Queensland back three, which is quite inexperienced, and hopefully, I guess, pin them down as much as possible.
Yeah, I think with Queensland's aim to probably shut down Cleary's kicking game, I want to see Luai get super involved. I feel like from times everything can be put on Nathan's back, but I just love to see Luai show, you know, what his main strengths are and just take advantage of some of the slower Queensland guys. Like, I know Tino might be, you know, from blokes around, but just catch people off at the around the ruck and stuff like that. I just love to see him run the ball. And I also think that you talked earlier about Ben Hunt's kicking game and things like that. I just tough carries out of the back. And I don't know if that means Tupou's going to have to absolutely, you know, truck a lot of nut. And same with Toto. But you said that was dominant before. And I just love that not to work out. And, you know, maybe that gets the confidence down. Suddenly they're just running straight line, boring sort of stuff. And yeah, just kill the things that I think Queensland are looking to have a big advantage over. And that's, of course, Grant. So when he comes on, I want him to have the biggest mountain to climb, just really work into the game. I don't want him to, you know, maybe up by 4 points or something. Got to probably win the first 40 minutes. Half time, need to be up, in my opinion.
I think it's going to be ridiculously fast tomorrow night. Even though it's played in a slippery surface, I think it's just going to be one of the quickest games we've ever seen.
Definitely could be, but I just want to finish off with this game plan. It's something we've got written down here, and it's kind of to counter your point, McKay. Is Nathan Cleary's kicking game by far the best kicker in the competition, but the Panthers and New South Wales have done this over the last few years, is blockers, and it's literally an escort. Like, how is it any different? Because the players moved out of position to block, and that allows Cleary all the time in the world to put it on a tee. And he just needs, you know, that much room, and he's going to drop it a metre out from that try line. You're going to have to run it out of your 10. And that's really difficult. But I'd like to see some of the Queensland forwards get through. And I know Sean and I have spoken about it probably since March. Is Christian Welch getting through there? But obviously, with his Achilles injury, he won't be there. So it's going to come down to Papali'i and Tino, especially at the start, to get through to him and just sit him down. Let him know that you're there. And then it's going to be interesting off the back of that to see how the referees react to that kind of stuff. You know,
in the Cowboys-Penrith game the other week, I think it was the first time all year that I saw a kick pressure actually get to him and tackle him after he kicked it. And the amount of whinging and bitching that went on for like the next three tackles, I couldn't believe it. I thought, okay, that's interesting. I hope Slater's seen that, because he doesn't like it. He doesn't like being tackled. And you watch the Penrith players, when they're putting kick chase on, they're at least running up and grabbing the guy who kicked it. They're not actually bringing him to the ground. I would be putting as much pressure on Cleary as possible. But then, you know, I don't have much confidence in the ref that's been selected for tomorrow night. He can pull out some absolutely obscure penalties from nowhere. So that'll be really interesting to see how we would react to something like that. And then, like you said, those blockers, those statues, as I call them, just sort of standing there, they have to be still or else they should be getting penalised.
But why are they there? Like,
they're just
like you guys get into it as well. Because it happens in club, like it's happened to South, it happened to Roosters, if that's who you are for. It's literally a penalty that's just never ever called. Because how is it any different to if I put the kick through and one of my defenders steps across and knocks you out of the way? How is it any different?
I think the difference is that, so if Cleary's kicking, we're all watching, oh, where's the kick going? You know, even we're all watching where it's going, right? So that little bit, I don't know, it just loses that interest from the referee sometimes. But if the ball's up in the air and people are suddenly stopping, people, they look more into it. Like, I just think that's why. I don't think it's right, or maybe they should be penalising it, but it's Ashley Klein's the referee, am I not wrong? Yeah. No. Like, right, what the heck? He's going to do whatever he wants, and some of it could be, you know, stupid.
I think that's what scares both sides.
I think it should scare both sides. And, yeah, I don't know. I just think Cleary as well, like, he's a bit of a protected species. I think he's going to probably get away with it. If I had to put my house on it, I'd say he's going to get away with it the whole time. But it is annoying that maybe he can complain. I know, but
yeah.
I want him to, like, maybe factor that in. I hope they're talking about factoring it in. And then he can just be confident and, you know, get up, give him a shove, and then just run down, you know. Maybe just change your plan to make sure it can't happen, because those Queensland guys, I'm sure they'll be coming after him as hard as possible.
But it was something that, Sean, you were speaking to me yesterday about, is we haven't seen a coach come out yet and try and talk about an issue to put the pressure on the referee. Where, like, last year we had the head knocks. High tackles, and we saw people just getting automatically sent to the bin, and they were coming out and, you know, it's Origin, and there was pressure put on the referees not to call that kind of stuff, and it wasn't really a big factor in game one. But no one's come out and said anything about blockers or any type of rule in the game, so it's going to be really, really interesting. But that's just going to allow Klein to call the game however he wants to, because there's no thing in his head saying, oh, Slater said this yesterday, or Fittler said that on Monday.
Like, yeah. Will Queensland be doing a similar thing? Like, is it, I haven't really ever looked that much into it, if I'm being honest. Like, is it something that every club's doing? Like, are they going to be doing that for DCE? Are they going to be trying to block? Or is his kicking game just not as dominant?
I dare say no one's talking about it because everyone's doing it. If I was to guess, maybe the Panthers do it more than other teams, but if I was to guess, I would say most clubs do it to some degree, and maybe it's just a directive from the referees that they're more worried about kickers being injured than blockers being happened.
I do think that's like they're worried about protecting the kicker, but unfortunately, like, my favourite player is Jonathan Thurston of all time, right? And he used to get hammered, and he is half the size of Cleary, probably about, you know, 15-20 kilos lighter. And, you know, he had shoulder injuries. He had an Origin game where a New South Wales player dived in at his leg when he kicked it and he hyperextended it. He had to miss the rest of the game. We still won, by the way. But, you know, like, that's just a part of the game. It's a contact sport. If you're going to be the kicker, it's not just all, you know, roses and you get to run around and pass it. You're going to get hammered. That's a part of the game. You're the main ball handler. And I do think some teams do it. But they do it a lot, and they move, because they're only passing the ball 5 meters back. And if I'm a Titans fan, obviously everyone knows, you know, Toby Sexton or AJ Brimson are getting hammered every time they get it, and that's obviously they're not up to the standard.
I think Cleary does stand a lot deeper though. I think out of all the kickers in the NRL, I think he's like the deepest. Whereas a lot of other kickers sort of kick up in the line a bit more.
So why block?
Give that extra layer of comfort, or just to piss the other team off, I don't know.
Or run the risk of getting penalised.
Really seen them get penalised once or twice ever, which is really odd. But then, like you say, Blaze, I think a lot of teams do it. Like, I see JWH moving all over the place whenever the Roosters are playing. And so I think most teams do it. But I do think that Cleary, out of all the NRL kickers, and even at State of Origin level, he just doesn't get hit that often, and I think he should, because that would be something different to be put under that kind of a pressure. Let's see how good he kicks in.
But also, just to back you up, like, it's not, we're not saying like Cleary needs to get hit. It's like, it's just the pressure to make sure that he's not playing at his best. It's going to be the same. Cherry Evans is right behind. Like, Cherry Evans, how good is his kicking? It doesn't matter if it's field goals, if it's 40-20s, just regulation.
Yeah, he's great.
He's unbelievable.
He actually had a really poor series last year, so it'll be interesting to see how he goes this year.
But we'll move on to the quick fire round just to finish up. So, because there's four of us, we're just going to kind of change the direction. I'm going to ask McKee first, and then you're going to ask Sean, and Sean, you're going to ask Luke, and Luke, you're going to fire it back at me. So, guys, if you're new to this, this is a segment where we quickly talk about a few topics that we didn't really get to cover in full, although we did get through a lot, and just give a short answer from the person who asked the question to. So I'm asking Blaze. So, straight off, do you think if Nico Hines was in the side in the 17, it would be almost a guaranteed victory for New South Wales?
I think it's hard to say guaranteed victory just because of the other big names that are out for New South Wales. I think we spoke about it earlier. Both Luke and I would have liked to see Hines in there and maybe made it a little bit stronger for New South Wales. But I think part of what's so good about State of Origin this year is that both sides, in my opinion, are pretty similar. And yeah, I would have liked to see Nico Hines, but I still think it would be a pretty close series either way. So I guess we touched on reffing, and there was some interesting, I guess, there was a new judiciary rule that came out from the NRL, which basically put Origin on its own, you know, apart from the regular club stuff, and will hopefully give some players some more freedom. So, I guess, do you think we'll see any old school biffs in game one or throughout the series?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's been so long since we've had old school biff, they might have forgotten how. I am really scared about the ref, and I'm really scared about the bunker. I just think the bunker has lost its way. Like, looking at things in super slow motion, that's not how the game's played, and I really don't like it. Like, Ashley Klein pinged Jordan Rickey, got sent off in that Titans game for a 1 second late shot just because he thought the player would have got whiplash from it. And I'd never heard that before in my life. And I think, I don't know. I think it would be interesting. Like, I always liked those old school games where, you know, you had a bit of biff. I remember Paul Gellin punching Nate Miles because he was getting bullied, and I just thought, whatever. But, you know, although Nate Miles just sort of brushed his chin and went, what was that? So, yeah, I didn't mind a bit of beef, and it always added to the contest, particularly around State of Origin. Luke, so you spoke a bit earlier about Payne Haas. What do you think, like, all of the stuff around his contract and the last game for the Broncos, he got booed, and there's been a lot of media around it. Eli and I were talking this week, you know, in the Queensland camp, are the Broncos guys being spoken to and say, you know, screw this guy, you know, he's getting paid more than anybody else and he still wants more, blah, 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 blah. So we've been talking about it from the Queensland point of view. But from the New South Wales point of view, how's he going to react to that last game for Brisbane?
I think it's a great question, and I think he's going to react probably the only way I think he knows how, and that's running hard and straight and probably pounding a few of these blokes which might be out to get him. I don't know if it was 100% confirmed during the week, but he's kind of backflipped a bit or said a bunch of weird things, and his manager's like, I don't know, Mundine's cousin or some weird stuff like that. So it's all pretty messy, but I think, like, again, I was speaking earlier about how I just think Cobbo's just got that thing about him, and like you said, how he didn't have the best start of the season. I feel like Haas is the same. I feel like although he's on a lot of money and he wants $1 million, he's still a generational player. I think he's going to go out and absolutely dominate, and I also think that in a game, let's say Queensland do go out and win, I wouldn't be surprised if Haas would be the best player in a losing team. That's the sort of quality I think he has, and I think he'll react well. He's just too good. Now, Eli, we've spoken a bit more about how it was a difficult decision to pick Coates over Oates, but you told me about a week ago that you would have personally gone with Coates and Oates as your wingers. Is this still the case, or have you completely warmed to Selwyn Cobbo?
No, I'd say pretty much warm to Cobbo. Like, we've spoken about him endlessly on this podcast. Generational, I believe he'll turn into a generational talent. But I think my thing was that, like, both of those guys have played before. And, I mean, they've both had great seasons. Like Melbourne are second or whatever. And Coates has been, you know, a try-scoring fiend. You said, like, chuck him in your multi every week. But it's kind of the same with Cobbo over the last, you know, couple of months. He's just, you know, hat-tricks, doubles, you know, leaping for the corners. We've started seeing some of his pace. So after seeing some of the performances, I can't remember what game it was. He had a game where it kicked into the in goal and he just somehow got out. Was that the South game?
I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Roosters?
Yeah.
Ever since then, he's just been a different player. Like, I don't know what that did, but he was just like, oh, okay, I can get past these people. And that's enough for me. And he's got to start at some point. Why not start now? Like, the expectation for Queensland isn't that high. You know, we're not favourites. So why not chuck him in now? But, guys, that'll do the Practice Drill podcast for this week. But just before we finish, I want to do our game one prediction. Score prediction, all right? And maybe anything else you want to make a bit of a multi out of it. Blaze, I'll go to you first. What are you thinking?
First of all, I think there will be a lot of points. As we say, it's going to be quite a quick game, and we saw last year there was a lot of points. So I think New South Wales will come away with the victory, you know, home advantage. I'm going to go 28-22 New South Wales, and maybe Daniel Tupou for a little double, just to, you know, I'm sure there'll be plenty of value in that, and he's, I guess, going to be looking to have a big game. So
silence the critics.
Yeah, we'll see how we go there.
Sean, what do you reckon?
I actually think it's going to be a close game. I think New South Wales 19-18, and I predict that Jeremiah Nenai will get over the line.
Part of my gut is really thinking that Queensland might win, as much as I hate to say it, but I'm going to look to what I really should be thinking. I reckon New South Wales are going to actually win 30-14. I feel like at the back end of the game, when some of those Queensland guys, I feel like even though Cotter might be beasting it, maybe for once he gets tired and just a few people, you know, run through him. I reckon Haas gets a try. And yeah, I think they end up blowing them out, but I feel like the first 40 minutes is going to be extremely close. And then hopefully Freddie's got some wisdom at halftime that just Slater hasn't developed yet. That's what I'm hoping.
Okay, obviously there is no way in the world that I think New South Wales are winning, and I honestly believe that. I'm going Queensland in a tight contest. I'm going to go 22-18 to Queensland. A nice 4-point win. So, but 3-1, can't believe that. yeah, absolutely can't wait. I'm sure I speak on behalf of all of us that it's going to be one hell of a game. I don't even think the markets reflect properly on how tight of a contest is going to be. I do think it could be a bit of a flip of the coin, but I think New South Wales definitely rightfully favourites. But yeah. It is looking like a little bit 50-50. Maybe 51-49, I think that's what the Hello Sport Boys said the other day. So we'll stick with them.
Actually, my last prediction will be that Ashley Klein has two shockers.
Two plus shocker market.
Yeah,
that's right. Paying $1.01.
But I actually did give my anytime try scorer Valentine Holmes. So I think he gets over. Yeah,
he's good.
But guys, if you want to stay up to date on all things NRL, AFL, rugby union, cricket, and NBA basketball, got the finals going on, 1-1 in that series. So Luke's watching it intensely, loves the Warriors and Celtics, he tells me all the time. So if you want to stay up to date, go and follow us on Twitter at @T_practicedrill. I'm sure I speak on all of us. The thing we're looking forward to is Origin. Considering we just spoke about it for an hour. Anyway, we'll see you guys later in the week for our normal podcast. And until then, enjoy Origin and good luck to both sides.